You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on Striking Thoughts. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on Striking Thoughts, Bruce Lee's Wisdom for Daily Living by Bruce Lee. As always, we'll kick it off with a quote. Self-actualization is the important thing. And my personal message to people is that I hope they will go towards self-actualization rather than self-image actualization. I hope that they will search within themselves for honest self-expression. That is Bruce Lee from Striking Thoughts. Bruce Lee, the man, the myth, the legend, and the philosopher. In addition to being an iconic martial artist and actor, Bruce Lee was a passionate lover of wisdom. In this great book, Striking Thoughts, we get to take a peek at some of his thoughts on various subjects. In fact, to be precise, the book is packed with about 825 big ideas on 72 different topics. In this note, we'll have fun exploring a few of my favorites. Hope you dig it. Let's jump in with the first big idea. Don't waste time. Quote, "Time means a lot to me because, you see, I too am also a learner. And I'm often lost in the joy of forever developing and simplifying. If you love life, don't waste time, for time is what life is made up of." End quote. Do you love life? Then don't waste time. Reminds me of Benjamin Franklin's mojo. He says, quote, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff life is made of." And it's always a good idea to keep Aristotle's wisdom in mind as well. He says, quote, "We live in deeds, not years, in thoughts, not breaths, in feelings, not in figures on a dial. We should count time by heart throbs." End quote. So, how are you wasting time these days? What's the number one thing you need to stop doing so you don't fritter any more of your life away in nonsense? Let's actually take a moment to make this official. Now, we've got a little quote here. "Because I value my life and know that time is the stuff it's made of, I will stop doing this." Ponder that. What will you stop doing that is wasting your precious life energy? You might want to press pause and think about that right now. "Because I value my life and know that time is the stuff it's made of, I will stop doing this." In the PDF, we've got space for you to write something down. Jot your thoughts down. What do you need to stop doing? Think about that. We'll be here when you get back. All right. You do the exercise. Good work. For me, it's limiting my internet time from constantly checking email plus Facebook plus Twitter. It's shocking how much time I can waste mindlessly going back and forth throughout the day. That is what I shall stop doing so much of as I commit to not wasting the stuff life is made of. How about you? Let's move on to big idea number two. Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Quote, "Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do." End quote. This is a huge theme of all these notes in Optimal Living 101. Knowing something is nice, but it means nothing if we don't actually apply it to our lives. As we often say in these notes, theory, or knowing something, is rudimentary philosophy. Practice, or actually living a truth, is the advanced stuff. So are you spending all of your time in theory, simply talking about all the stuff you believe to be true, or are you focused on living it? Vernon Howard puts it brilliantly in The Power of Your Supermind. See those notes where he tells us, quote, "You see, knowing the words is not the same thing as living the meaning. Suppose I memorize the printed instructions on a first aid kit. Does that mean I can give first aid? No. The full meaning comes when I admit I know nothing and then try, practice, succeed." End quote. So let's take another moment for reflection. What's the number one thing you know would be great for you to do, but you just haven't gotten yourself to make it an essential part of who you are? I'm inserting Jeopardy music here. As you ponder that one, we've got some space in the PDF for you to contemplate and write down this. Upon reflection, it's clear to me that although I know this is important and would have huge positive benefits in my life, I haven't yet made this knowledge an essential part of my day-to-day living. And then there's some space where you can write it down. So what is it that you haven't made an essential part of your life that you just know you need to? Think about that. What's the number one thing? Press pause, think about it, write it down, then hereby commit to rocking it. Amen. Next big idea, the Supreme Court of the mind. Quote, the power of will is the Supreme Court over all other departments of my mind. I will exercise it daily when I need the urge to action for any purpose, and I will form habits designed to bring the power of my will into action at least once daily, end quote. The power of will. As you can imagine, Bruce Lee held it in very high regard. In fact, the power of his will was the Supreme Court over all other departments of his mind. Love that. Now, science confirms the power of self-control and our ability to develop it. Here's how Heidi Grant Halverson puts it in her great book, Succeed. See those notes. She says, quote, if you want more self-control, you can get more. And you get more self-control the same way you get bigger muscles. You've got to give it regular workouts. Recent research has shown that engaging in daily activities such as exercising, keeping track of your finances or what you're eating, or even just remembering to sit up straight every time you think of it, can help you develop your overall self-control capacity. For example, in one study, students who were assigned to and stuck to a daily exercise program not only got physically healthier, but they also became more likely to wash dishes instead of leaving them in the sink, and less likely to impulsively spend money, end quote. That's cool. So bottom line, it's a good idea to develop your self-control every day. And as we do that, not only will we see improvements in the specific area in which we're challenging ourselves, but in many other aspects of our lives as well. And that is a good thing. That leads us to the next big idea, letting the spiritual rise up. Quote, live content with small means, seek elegance rather than luxury, and refinement rather than fashion. Be worthy, not respectable, wealthy, not rich. Study hard, think quietly, talk gently, act frankly. Bear all cheerfully, do all bravely. Await occasions, hurry never. In a word, let the spiritual, unbidden and unconscious, grow up through the common, end quote. How beautiful is that? So much we can talk about here. This line, be worthy, not respectable, jumps out in particular for me that I want to reflect on right now. Reminds me of Confucius's wisdom from his Analects. See those notes where he tells us, quote, the master said he does not mind not being in office. All he minds about is whether he has qualities that entitle him to office. He does not mind failing to get recognition. He is too busy doing the things that entitle him to recognition. End quote. Now, it's easy to spend our time worrying about being recognized and developing our reputation. Not such a good idea. Instead, let's focus our attention on being worthy of any potential recognition. Here's to studying hard, thinking quietly, talking gently, acting frankly, bearing all cheerfully, doing all bravely, and never hurrying as we let the spiritual force of the divine within come through us moment to moment to moment. And as we do that, let's remember the next big idea. Adversity is beneficial. Quote, prosperity is apt to prevent us from examining our conduct, but adversity leads us to think properly of our state, and so is beneficial to us, end quote. Adversity is an interesting thing. Although we tend to want to avoid mistakes, failing, hard times at all costs, the fact is we actually need adversity to fully self-actualize. Robert Emmons puts it this way in Thanks, see those notes, where he says, quote, not only does the experience of tragedy give us an exceptional opportunity for growth, But some sort of suffering is also necessary for a person to achieve maximal psychological growth. In his study of self-actualizers, The Paragons of Mental Wellness, the famed humanistic psychologist Abraham Maslow noted that, quote, "The most important learning lessons were tragedies, deaths, and trauma, which forced change in the life outlook of the person, and consequently, in everything that he did," end quote. So, although it's never fun to be in the middle of a challenging time, the edge can definitely be softened by remembering that it's these times where we get really clear about who we are, what's most important to us, and how we want to live our lives. P.S. here, keep this Vernon Howard mojo in mind when or if you're feeling stressed by life. He tells us, quote, "If your grand purpose in life is to wake up, then whatever happens to you is good, for it can prod you into self-awakening," end quote. The next big idea is stepping stones versus stumbling blocks. Quote, "Remember, my friend, that it is not what happens that counts, it is how you react to them. Your mental attitude determines what you make of it, either a stepping stone or a stumbling block," end quote. We've heard this one once or twice before, eh? Wink. As good old Shakespeare tells us, quote, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." We can approach life as a helpless victim or as an empowered creator, seeing the same event as a stepping stone or a stumbling block. As we discuss again and again throughout these notes, the choice is always ours. Always. So, let's choose wisely. Quick question for you. Is there anything in your life that's kicking your butt that you may need to reinterpret? Is now a good time to do that? And that leads us to the next big idea, dealing with obstacles. Quote, "Believe me that in every big thing or achievement, there are always obstacles, big or small. And the reaction one shows to such obstacles is what counts, not the obstacle itself. There is no such thing as defeat until you admit so yourself, but not until then," end quote. Love that. For the last line reminds me of Confucius's wisdom, who says, quote, "As in the case of making a mound, if before the very last basketful I stop, then I shall have stopped. As in the case of leveling the ground, if though tipping only one basketful, I am going forward, then I shall be making progress," end quote. Here's to making progress. Keep tipping those basketfuls. Keep on moving on. As we move on to the next big idea, reading is mental food. Quote, "Reading, specialized reading, is the mental food." So a mind's got to eat, and the best way to nourish ourselves is to read. It's pretty much impossible to actualize fully without reading. In Pathways to Bliss, see those notes, Joseph Campbell puts it this way. He says, quote, "For myself, well, Alan Watts once asked me what spiritual practice I followed. I told him, I underline books. It's all in how you approach it." Love that. Twyla Tharp puts it this way in The Creativity Habit. See the notes. She says, quote, "When I'm reading archaeologically, I'm not reading for pleasure. I read the way I scratch for an idea, digging down deep so I can get something out of it and use it in my work. I read transactionally. How can I use this? It's not enough for me to read a book. I have to own it. I scribble in the margins. I circle sentences I like and connect them with arrows to other useful sentences. I draw stars and exclamation points on every good page, to the point where the book is almost unreadable. By writing all over the pages, I transform the author's work into my book and mine alone," end quote. Amen. So here's to feeding our minds with reading goodness. As we do that, next big idea, aiming at perfection. Quote, "Aim at perfection in everything, though in most things it is unattainable. However, they who aim at it and persevere will come much nearer to it than those whose laziness and despondency make them give it up as unattainable," end quote. Perfection. The trick is to aim for it and to know that actually attaining it is impossible. John Wooden and Tal Ben-Shahar articulate this process well. First, Wooden. In Wooden, see those notes, he tells us, quote, "Perfection is what you are striving for, but perfection is an impossibility. However, striving for perfection is not an impossibility. Do the best you can under the conditions that exist. That is what counts." End quote. All right, got it. Now, Tal Ben-Shahar, in his great book, The Pursuit of Perfect, see those notes. And if you're a perfectionist and you haven't read it yet, please do. The Pursuit of Perfect. In this book, Tal differentiates between a traditional perfectionist and what he calls an optimalist. The key difference, essentially, is that the optimalist deals with the reality that they'll never be perfect. They see that their ideals are much more like guiding stars than distant shores. I can personally never get enough of this wisdom, so let's check it out one more time. We've quoted this a number of times throughout these notes, but I'm going to repeat myself here. Tal says, quote, "Psychologists today differentiate between positive perfectionism, which is adaptive and healthy, and negative perfectionism, which is maladaptive and neurotic. I regard these two types of perfectionism as so dramatically different in both their underlying nature and their ramifications that I prefer to use entirely different terms to refer to them. Throughout this book, I will refer to negative perfectionism simply as perfectionism, and to positive perfectionism as optimalism." He continues by saying, "Perfectionism and optimalism are not distinct ways of being, an either-or choice, but rather they coexist in each person. And while we can move from perfectionism toward optimalism, we never fully leave perfectionism behind and never fully reach optimalism ahead. The optimalism ideal is not a distant shore to be reached, but a distant star that guides us and can never be reached. As Carl Rogers pointed out, the good life is a process, not a state of being. It is a direction, not a destination." End quote. So here's to rocking our optimalism and remembering that the good life is a direction, not a destination. The next big idea is, how can I be me? Quote, "When I look around, I always learn something, and that is to be always yourself and to express yourself. Do not go out and look for a successful person and duplicate it, which seems to me to be the prevalent thing happening in Hong Kong. Like they always copy mannerisms, but they'll never start from the very root of his being, which is, how can I be me?" End quote. Love that. Here's a question to live with. How can I be me? Seriously, how can you be you? What are you doing that's getting in the way of you really being you? How are you pretending to be someone other than who you really are? What's at the root of your being that needs a little more expression? Get on that. And P.S., as you do that, remember Leo Buscaglia's wisdom, you are the best you. You will always be the second best anyone else. PPS, keep this Oscar Wilde gem in mind as well. He tells us, be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. That brings us to the final big idea. There is only self-help. Quote, "I have come to discover through earnest personal experience and dedicated learning that ultimately the greatest help is self-help, that there is no other help but self-help. Doing one's best, dedicating oneself wholeheartedly to a given task, which happens to have no end, but is an ongoing process." End quote. So ultimately, the greatest help is self-help. Powerful stuff. Samuel Smiles, in the 19th century classic on self-help, appropriately called Self-Help, see those notes, puts it this way. He says, quote, "Human character is molded by a thousand subtle influences, by example and precept, by life and literature, by friends and neighbors, by the world we live in, as well as by the spirits of our forefathers, whose legacy of good words and deeds we inherit. But great, unquestionably, though these influences are acknowledged to be, it is nevertheless equally clear that men must necessarily be the active agents of their own well-being and well-doing, and that, however much the wise and good may owe to others, they themselves must, in the very nature of things, be their own best helpers." End quote. And you've got to love the way Will Bowen shares this truth in his great book, A Complaint-Free World. See those notes where he tells us, quote, "We are, every one of us, already creating our lives all the time. The trick is to really take the reins and steer the horse to where we want to go, rather than where we do not. Your life is a movie written by, directed by, produced by, and starring, you guessed it, you. We are all self-made." When asked about self-made millionaires, Earl Nightingale, the 20th century motivational master and philosopher, once quipped, "We are all self-made, but only the successful will admit it." We're all self-made, my friend. Here's to living our deepest truths and creating a life we're proud of. Well, there you go. There's a really quick look at this great book. Hope you enjoyed. Let's take a quick look at a mini bio on Bruce Lee. I'll suggest some other notes you might like if you like this one. And we'll look at some great quotes from the sidebar. First, Bruce Lee. He studied Kung Fu in Hong Kong under the legendary master Yip Man. After attending the University of Washington as a philosophy major, Lee established a Kung Fu studio in Oakland, California in 1964 to teach the art he later named Jeet Kune Do. From a young age and throughout his seven-year television and film career, he wrote prodigiously on all topics that attracted his interest, particularly philosophy. He died of cerebral edema in Hong Kong at the age of 32. John Little, who's the editor of this book, is the world's foremost authority on the life and work of Bruce Lee, his training methods, and his philosophy. That's from the book. If you like this note, you'll probably also like a couple other notes involving martial arts, The Art of Peace and Mastery. I think you'd also enjoy The Analects, Self-Help, The Pursuit of Perfect, and The Power of Your Supermind. Now for some quotes from the sidebar. These are all from Bruce Lee. He tells us, be a practical dreamer backed by action. And persistence, persistence, and persistence. The power can be created and maintained through daily practice, continuous effort. One must always strive to be better. The sky's the limit. If every man would help his neighbor, no man would be without help. Real living is living for others. He tells us, but most of all, I like books. I read all types of books, fiction and nonfiction. The human goal, to actualize oneself. If you spend too much time thinking about a thing, you'll never get it done. Concentration is the root of all the higher abilities in man. And finally, independent inquiry is needed in your search for truth, not dependence on anyone else's view or a mere book. Well, there you go. That's a quick look at Striking Thoughts, Bruce Lee's wisdom for daily living. Hope you dug it. Look forward to sharing more with you soon. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.